All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, Texans continue their work in training camp 2025 this week in West Virginia at the Greenbrier. And hearing from the head coach from West Virginia will be you. So let's listen to D'Amico Ryans right now on Sports Radio 610.
How good?
We've talked a lot about the offense, but defense has had a lot of good days. What have you seen from their development so far?
When I look at our defense just throughout training camp, these guys are really, they're competitive, they're edgy, they play together, and I see a really good unit, like, gelling together defensively. They're making a lot of plays, and they're playing with enthusiasm as well. Not only just the enthusiasm, but they're really executing very well, and that's, you know, credit to those guys really putting in the work with their coaches to being on the detail. So they're doing an outstanding job. In the same vein as I said for the defense, our offense is getting better. That's training camp. I talk about it all the time. I'm not just throwing out a term, but when I talk about iron sharpening iron, if everybody brings their best every single day, we will all get better. We're still one team. We're going to go out and compete against another team. We are making each other better here. Our offense is making our defense better. Defense is making our offense better, and that's what training camp is all about. So I'm very, you know, excited to see where our guys are, and really I'm excited to see them go play against someone else. It's becoming that time of camp where it starts to get a little chippy. Guys are tired of going against each other, so I'll be excited, you know, when the end of the week comes and we're able to go against Minnesota.
You mentioned Titus's ability to play a bunch of different spots. Is him at tackle today a playing thing, or is that out of necessity with
camp? Yeah, as you see with our offensive line, you'll see different guys in different spots. You've seen that from OTAs. You've seen that throughout training camp. No different, no extra news to report or anything about it. Today is just our guys are moving around just like they've done kind of all camp.
Do you like Titus at guard versus tackle, or is just he can do a lot of stuff?
Yeah, Titus has shown the ability to play outside at tackle, and he's played at guard all his career, so he's moved around a lot. He's flexible to be able to do that. Remember, we were in a pinch late a couple years ago. Titus bumped inside, and it's no issue. Titus is an unselfish player that does whatever we're asked to do. That's what I like about him. And it always helps when you have the ability to do both. And he's done a good job at both tackle and guard. So wherever he ends up, I know Titus is going to bring his best, and he's going to help our line to be better this year. When it comes to, you know, our structure defensively, I don't know how those guys line up. I don't know. So, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. And being here, man, it's awesome. Hopefully you guys get a shot. Man, this is a beautiful place to come here, to get great weather for our guys to be able to work. Everything is very convenient where we are with the Performance Center here, fields right here. Man, it's been outstanding. And the people here at Greenbrier have been unbelievably nice, kind to us. And it's been first day has been great, and it'll continue to go that way. I just really want to thank our staff, everybody in the football ops department, for them to set up shop just like we're back home. They brought everything you could think of, everything we need. We have it. Our team has done an unbelievable job of just being prepared. Even though we're away here in West Virginia, it feels like we're at home because we have everything that we need. Yeah, joy is contagious, and that's what you see from our unit. They play with joy, and they're so excited to see other guys make a play. I have to wait for a period. They make a play, the entire sideline is running on the field. They're having a lot of fun, and it's not just about one guy. Anybody who makes a play, everybody's excited, and I like to see that because that's what we're about, that team mentality, seeing your brother do well and being just as excited as if you made that play. I love to see our guys right gelling together that way, and it's fun to watch.
Go.
I did not see it. I was on to the next play.
I've got a question about a totally different player, man. You play with John Weeks, right? Did you play with John Weeks?
I did,
yeah,
yes.
I was gonna say, okay, so now that you guys have Austin Brayton, West Virginia guy, that's what I'm asking you about.
kind of fit in? Because Weeks held that position now for 15 years. What do you guys see him bring from that kind of thing that he can replace him?
You know, we're excited to have Brinkman, a young player. You know, anytime you have a rookie at the long snapper position, there's some growing pains that comes with that. But Brinkman has the temperament. He has the skill set to step in and do a great job. And the first thing first is to have great snaps. And that's what he's done. He's been very consistent with his snaps. All right, him and Tommy are working together. I mean, pre-practice, after practice, the work never stops with Brinkman. And for him, having two veterans and Tommy and Emi work with him to bring him along, like, I think he ended up in the best spot that he can end up in by having those veterans who's taking him under their wings and they're caring for him, making sure they're all on the same page. So really pleased with Brinkman, excited to see him get some action in the game so he can get, you know, knock the rust off a little bit. It's a little different when the games come, but I think he'll do a really good job for us. And from our tight ends, what I've seen, you know, difference is how these guys are blocking at the line of scrimmage, right? You see that finish, you see the edge, you see the physicality. They're doing a really great job, you know, on the end of the line of scrimmage, blocking, you know, our defensive ends, and they make it tough. Our guys make it tough every down, but our tight ends, they are fighting, they're playing really great technique, and it's going to pay off for us. I think really well in the run game is when it's going to pay off, and, you know, Kaylee's done a great job, him and Jake working together with the tight ends. I can see a drastic improvement in where the guys are now, so it's good.
Best memories from playing high school ball, and how did those 4 years help shape you into the player and coach that you are today?
Yeah, taking it back to high school ball, man, it was so much fun playing high school ball, because for me, you represented your community. Everybody there at your high school were guys that you went to elementary school with, middle school with, and you get to play high school football with those same guys. So it was a special moment to represent your hometown. And it was just fun times being in the locker room with your guys. You know, it's grimy practices, like it's drinking out of the PVC pipe, like water holes. It's just you found out you really love football or you don't playing high school football, right? And that's what I found out. I found my love for the game in high school when we went through some rough times. We had a really great coach, and we had really great work in the offseason to bring us together. We were a very close group. And as our high school team, and that's what I remember most, those memories, us being close, playing well together, and representing our hometown.
We'll take a couple more. Do you have a goal for this week, getting the guys out of Houston, getting the guys to change the scenery, just goal for this week being here?
Yeah, the main goal is for our guys to come up and really focus on football. I think being in Houston at times, we really have to be conscious of the weather. And you're trying to make sure guys are hydrated, making sure guys are – at some times you're just surviving practice. Where here, we're not worried about those elements, and we're worried about, you know, thriving, actually getting better at technique and football. And that's all you have to focus on. So the heat isn't an issue. So my goal is to come here. Can we be dialed in, and can we see great improvement in our execution from not having to worry about the heat?
Your second year with Tim Settle in this defense, what kind of growth have you seen him having a year under –
Tim is he's much more comfortable with what we're asking him to do, and we're still straining to him. He still has to be better at being consistent with this technique. At times it's great, at times, so can he be, if he's consistent, I think Tim can be a dominant player inside for us, and he's straining every day to work that consistency, but he's more comfortable. He understands what we're asking him to do, and when he does it right, he's in the backfield a lot, disrupting, making a lot of plays.
Matt have both talked about improving the tackling this year. Have you guys tweaked the way you teach it or coach it at all?
Yeah, we haven't tweaked how we coach tackling. It's just bringing awareness to where we miss tackles and how we miss tackles. And a lot of times, if we miss tackles where our body is behind the player a lot, right? And that's going to put you in a bad position to miss, bad position to hip drop, whatever that case may be. So it's more reteaching and emphasizing, hey, can we get our bodies in front? As I say, it's body on body, step on the guy's toes and wrap them up. So if we wrap better, if we get our body in better position, we'll be a better tackling team.
Last one.
How do you feel like the running back stepped in? Our backs have done a really good job, man. Woody Marks has stepped in, and he's made some really nice runs over the past couple of days. Jawar is playing fast. It shows he's playing, and Chubb is – he plows behind his pads, and he's going to gain yardage. So all those guys collectively have done a really good job at the running back room.
Thanks, Coach.
Good. All right. Thank you, guys.
There you go. The head coach of your Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryan's out there after practice number one at the Greenbrier, practice number 10. Of training camp, and I'm sorry. How did he describe the running backs that have been out there working? Obviously, we know Joe Mixon dealing with the ankle injury. Damian Pierce still trying to find his way back to the practice field, doing work on the side. Although I saw a number of people mention that he looked like he was doing good work, like he looked, you know, explosive and the cuts were good. Woody Marks made some really good runs. Jawar Jordan has been good, and Nick Chubb, with a little bit of a hesitation, plowing behind those pads. I don't sound like somebody who's crazy explosive right now. Now, does it? With all due respect, like, I do think that, hey, you need somebody who can plow behind them pads. I mean, we were talking about, hey, can you get British Brooks to do some of that last year? I think that is useful. However, that does not strike me as like an all, like, you know, do everything back necessarily.
Has that been a train you've been on?
I have not seen the same level of explosion as with old Nick Chubb, which, again, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I think that's a reasonable expectation at his age and with the injury history that he has. But I did find it interesting that I'm not even waiting to ask. I'm adding a Woody Marks point on that, because the first name that he talks about when you talk about the backs is Woody Marks. Then Jawar Jordan. Then he circles back around to Nick Chubb. I do find that interesting. Am I making too much of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, first on Chubb, I lean more in your camp. I like the addition. I think he could have a good year, but I think expectations are also too high for him with a lot of fans, where they think, kind of like we were talking about with Correa, like this is the Chubb of 3 years ago and he's going to come be that star. That's not him anymore, and D'Amico's made multiple comments talking about how he's kind of not the same running back he used to be, and that's okay. But in regards to Woody Marks, yeah, I touched on it briefly in passing maybe earlier, but I kind of have high expectations for him in the sense of there's just that.
Not Nick Chubb, though.
What's that?
Not Nick Chubb, though.
Not
mess with you.
No. High expectations? I'm in your camp. But for Woody, I think it's just because of the opportunity right now. And they traded to get him. And you know, I think they obviously like him and what he brings to the table. So that. Somebody's going to have to step. I still have a lot of questions with some of the position groups on offense. So whether it's Damian Pierce, whether it's Woody Marks, I think somebody else is going to have to step up, not be the be-all, end-all back, but just as that supplement option, because I don't think you can solely rely on Joe Mixon and or Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued and interested to see how this kind of mentality, assuming that this is, you know, representative of the way they're actually thinking and it's not just Reggie reading too much into one statement that D'Amico Ryans makes, does this mean that we'll get a more balanced approach? Because that was a conversation we had going into last year. Are we just going to continue to workhorse Joe Mixon at this point in his career? That's a question that is asked. And how much do they believe in the idea of Woody Marks and Jawar Jordan and Nick Chubb, to the point of, do they spread this out with whoever the retainer remains? Plus, no mention of Dare. Does it just feel like Dare's in a different group? Or maybe do you think that, you know, D'Amico, if not, you know, other, you know, decision makers on the Texans, are not thinking of him in that same space?
Yeah, I think he's in the different group in terms of just what he brings to the table. I don't think he's viewed as the same type of option or weapon as Chubb, Mixon, Woody Marks, so on and so forth. And then, like I said, if Damian Pierce is healthy, I mean, I'd put him in that group as well. So now you're already talking about four options at the position that I think are better and bring more to the table than Dare. So he'd be slotted in, you know, probably number fifth at best, or then you get into the other guys too, Taylor and Jordan. So yeah, I just don't think he's in that same fold and viewed as the same as what Woody Marks could do potentially for this team and bring to that running back position.
Although the thing that I know Dare does, and I'm still hoping to get some idea of if Woody Marks can develop for himself, is pass block.
It's true.
Pass block. That will definitely change the way that you can be utilized, especially if we're starting to talk about third down backs. Again, that was one of the places where we saw Dare. Unfortunately, you were in third and long a decent amount, and when you're in that space, you could expect number 33 to trot out there because you knew he could pass block and then leak out, catch the football, maybe run a draw if you needed him to. That's a little tougher if you have Woody Marks, who is a great receiving back. His catch radius has been very fun to watch, but if you know that you're going to get pressure, people are pinning their ears back, and you don't know if he can pick up that block, you can't put him out there.
That's got to be such like an unfun role to have. You only go out there to pass block, and then when we do hand you the ball, it's going to be in a draw, and the whole stadium's going to boo because we're running it on 3rd and 12.
No, that's a great point. We should do like a quick list of the like the least fun roles or you know jobs to have in sports, because sometimes a lot of times I don't think any of those guys enjoy it, but you know at some point I got to do this in order to make my my hay
for sure.
And so Dare, I think he knows to get in where he fits in, and that is being draw and pick up blitz guy. Like I think that is very much a part of what you got to do.
Yeah, I say good for him. He's a team player. But, yeah, that's probably one of the tougher roles out there for these guys, non-linemen, that you have to – you only block, and then, yeah, every once in a while we'll give you a little dump off and when you have no chance of getting a first down, or we'll give you a handoff and everyone's going to boo you, and those are the only times you touch the football.
I will say he was making the best out of it, though, yes. Man, because it was times where they actually had to rely on him, and he was making a couple plays. I think at one point, a couple years ago, he was the kicker. I know you hate to turn the Swiss Army knife, but he is literally that, man. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I'll try my best.
Yes, absolutely. So, I don't know. We might have to find a way to shoehorn that in at some point. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. A number of more things that I caught my attention talking hearing D'Amico. I think we'll talk with Sean and Seth about that at 12:40 when we have the practice report come down. But before we get there, let's get into our lunchtime confessions as we typically do, and we will do those next. All right, football is back. The month of August does always give us that. And, of course, we got preseason football coming up this weekend for the Texans when they take on the Vikings. We also have college football by the end of the month, coming back, including a week zero matchup in Dublin, Ireland, as they've taken to doing between my Kansas State Wildcats and the Iowa State Cyclones, obviously, the alma mater of Xavier Hutchinson, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. And I got to confess, as much as I understand trying to export games that are actually good with real interest as opposed to what we typically do, like in NFL where we'll send out a Jaguars game or something, I appreciate that they're doing that and sending Ireland a good game. An in-conference annual rivalry game being your week zero game that you're playing in Ireland rather than one of the home stadiums, I think that sucks. I think that just flat out is terrible. Can you imagine having the game in Ireland week zero?
Just imagine Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
Hey, let's put it in Ireland.
You know what we need? Let's play the Iron Bowl in Madrid. Week zero. What are we doing?
I'm with you.
No home 100%. Field advantage. And that's very important in college football, man.
But it's also like it's week zero. This rivalry game should be in November. Like, it should feel like something. Yeah. We're starting the season week zero with the one of the biggest, if not the biggest, rivalry game that these teams have on the season.
I agree. I hate exporting these games. I've ranted about it before, specifically in the NFL, where, like, it was, Tyreek Hill's game against – it was supposed to be his return to Kansas City. They play that. Overseas, Aaron Rodgers against the Vikings, now with the Jets, you know, a little bit of rivalry there. They put that over. The Bills had a game against somebody good, I forget, instead of being in Buffalo. I'm with you. I hate this idea of taking good games and putting them in other countries where fans really don't care, certainly not as much as we do here. And it's silly. It'd be like, you try to go eat at your favorite restaurant. It's like, yeah, we're closed today because he's trying to serve people in Alabama. It's like, well, you know, I've been a longtime customer and I always support this guy. They don't care about you over there in Alabama. Feed me. So same idea.
No, that's
keep
like
these games here.
That's like going to the restaurant. Oh, we closed for a private party. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, and oh, man.
Look, trying to grow the sport, although I don't know what the need is for college football to grow the sport internationally, but that's neither here nor there. Look, you can even sell me on a conference game, maybe. A rivalry game?
Yeah.
Really? You putting Red River Rivalry in Mexico City. Nah, man. That's crazy talk.
You can't have that feeling. You ain't gonna have that feeling.
That is crazy talk to me.
I agree. I'm out. Don't even do it with conference games. Do it with these meaningless, when
non-cons.
When Alabama plays Panera Bread, put that over there.
Hey, yo. Panera Bread University.
Yeah. Give them that game. I'm just going to tell on myself. I guess I embarrassed myself last week, though nobody would know it. I was at a Whole Foods, not far from the Galleria. It's kind of like a bougie area. And Whole Foods, to begin with, is always obviously kind of bougie as well.
Right.
And don't worry, I was just in there dropping off Amazon packages to return. I wasn't doing my grocery shopping at Whole Foods.
You thought we were going to be worried about you? You were eating healthy?
And people, I'm not a bougie. I'm an everyman, okay? I go get my food at the gas station.
No. That's too far the other way.
Okay.
This man is subsisting exclusively H-E-V. Off of taxis.
Try to move over to HEB at least.
No, I am. I'm a big HEB guy. I don't go to Whole Foods. But I had to drop off some packages. Anyways, as I parked, this nice car rolls in and they back in right next to me. And I was already out of my car walking into Whole Foods. And I turned around, see this nice car has a Connecticut license plate. I'm from Connecticut originally. So that automatically like, oh, there's a kinship. This guy's also down here from Connecticut. Anyways, the dude that gets out, he's taller than I am. He's built. He's in athletic wear. I'm like, oh, is this like some sort of athlete? He's driving a nice car. He's at Whole Foods. He looks athletic. He walks in Whole Foods behind me. I drop off my packages at Amazon. He goes to get like a smoothie from the little smoothie bar they
have.
That's
right.
And so I'm going to try to time it where we walk out at the same time. I'm going to try, and the Connecticut's going to be my opening line.
This is such a Seinfeld episode that you're describing right now.
I'm going to say like, hey, you're from Connecticut? So am I. That's my opener. And I'm going to try to figure out who this guy is.
This is the whole conversation.
He looks like a professional athlete I should know, or somebody played at UConn. I don't know. I was like, who is this guy? Anyways, long story longer, after he's ordering the smoothie, he starts walking around the store. And I already returned my packages, so this throws me off. I have to time the exit perfectly.
Yeah, that's right.
So I start walking around the store. I have nothing to get, but I'm following this guy through the store trying to get a good look at him. At one point, I was going to take a photo and send it to people and be like, is this somebody I should know? Is this an athlete? And I was following this guy around, and he probably knew. I probably got too close. He wasn't even buying anything. I think he was window shopping. I'm just walking right behind him. And eventually I was like, all right, you know what? Like, it's been 10 minutes. He's not leaving Whole Foods. I'm just going to go. So I may have saw an athlete in Whole Foods last week. I didn't stick around long enough to find out. But then in hindsight, when I was telling the story to somebody, I was like, oh, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, you were very creepy. You were stalking that man.
Yeah.
Or it could have just been some type of fitness trainer who rented a car.
That's true.
It just has some Connecticut license plates.
100%.
Man, I got to confess, man, I didn't realize how big of a star Reggie Adetula is, man.
Star?
He is a star, and this is why. So you were out at training camp on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, look, any day I can get to practice, I'm going to try and get
there. Yeah, so you was out there. I'm sure you was shaking hands, kissing babies and all this, as well as watching practice. And I saw Josina Anderson was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, she's out there. Okay, cool. And she posted a little video on her Twitter of her time at Houston, Texas training camp. And DJ Bien-Aimé, he made the cut in the video. I think she even tagged him like, hey, saw DJ Bien-Aimé out there. Also in the video was Reggie Adetula with his arm around and just looking like a man. Just like, just sitting there looking like a star.
As opposed to what?
Hey, just looking like a star. Looking like an athlete out there.
Yeah, that's right. I'd follow him around a Whole Foods.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd follow him around a Whole Foods. It's hilarious.
Yeah, Reggie was looking like just an A1 reporter out there. Because she posted the picture and everything. I'm like, dang, look at Reggie made the cut. I'm like, that's dope, man. I didn't realize how much of a star you was, man. How you get that picture with
not a star
Josina.
By any means? I mean, had an opportunity to meet Josina. I think at Super Bowl, I met her when she came because she covers the entirety of the league.
Yeah,
she had come to one of the home games here with the Texans last year, so I met her then, and then I saw her again at Super Bowl, and I actually helped her out because there was an internet.
That's right.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
but I will say, I ain't nobody's star because, as you mentioned, DJ Bien-Aimé got a tag.
But she put you in the reel, though.
She didn't put me in the reel.
Video.
That is cool.
She didn't have to do that.
I guarantee you asked Josina Anderson, what's this man's name? No chance in hell.
Now,
she knows my name.
I want you to be honest with me.
Yeah.
Who asked for the picture first? Who asked for the picture?
Josina.
He was a star, but I was nearby.
Wow.
I was nearby. That's all.
Hey, that's a big look, man. That ain't no small little deal, man. Don't sell yourself short, man.
Yeah. If she asks for the photo, she's then got to tag
Reggie
you, too.
Reggie is a star, man.
I don't know about that. I think Josina Anderson is just a very kind woman, and who also, you know, looks around and sees, you know, other brothers in the context of covering the team and wants to support. That's all.
Yeah, no, I really like that, though, man. Matter of fact, just go to her page, retweet it, and just say, there go my boy Reggie. just go in the comments, say, there go my boy Reggie. Tag Reggie in that tweet, too, man. I'm a retweet it, too, and say, there go my boy Reggie.
I appreciate it.
I was happy when I saw that because I was looking. I didn't know she was out there. I'm like, oh, okay, she out there. Oh, there go DJ. Okay. Oh, there go Reggie. I had to rewind. I had to go back on the video. I'm like, that's Reggie. There go Reggie.
And that's the thing, though, is that you look at it and you go, you expected DJ to be there. You were surprised I was there. See that's how you know I'm not supposed to be there for real. I snuck in.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, man, Reggie is a star, man. Because I expected DJ to be in it because she put him in a tweet.
ESPN, man, big dog.
Yeah, so I understand that. DJ, he's a superstar at this point. But I'm like, there go Reggie. I'm like, there go. I know that guy. I was Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie. Yeah. I'm like, there go that guy with the point. Like, I like that, man. Salute to you, man.
Hey, I'm trying to get him like my guy DJ. That's all it is. That's what's happening there. But yeah, those are our Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming, somebody said from the 631, they do the same thing when they see a New York license plate or wearing a New York team shirt or jersey. Don't know why.
I do the same thing with Ohio plate.
When you see somebody who has a similar fandom or is from where you from, it's a media connection, man. Yeah. Like, it's just an immediate talking point.
Every time I see somebody with an Ohio State shirt or a hoodie or something, I just, OH! And they look around, Ayo! Ayo!
I will say, Ayo. As annoying as Ohio State fans can be, and I love you, Fig, that is one of the coolest things that y'all have, like that little call and response that you can instantly know. Like, when you have your little, see, if you had a Connecticut equivalent of that, you wouldn't have had to chase him around the whole
place.
You could have just yelled out, OH, and then if he looked at you crazy, you'd be like, nah. Yeah. But if he responded back, boom, you in there, you know?
I did that one time to somebody, and they didn't respond. And then I was looking, and then I ended up catching up with them. I'm like, Ohio State? Nah, it's just a shirt. I'm like, you just rocking the random ass Ohio
Stolen
State
valor.
Shirt down here.
Stolen like, valor.
Man, I was so disappointed. I'm like, take the damn shirt off then.
Wow. You did him like T.I.? You grabbed it up off? That's crazy.
I'm like, why you rocking these colors, man?
All right. I would love to keep doing this, but I'm already cutting into time that I very, very much want to get into as we're set up for a practice report from West Virginia with Sean, and I think Seth will join as well. So without further ado, let's take a break, and when we come back, let's get a practice report courtesy of Yuengling. All right. Let's take it to West Virginia, where we have Sean Pendergast join us now for a practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of Yuengling. And it is the man who is you're here every morning, 6 to 8 a.m., while training camp is going on. It is Sean Pendergast. What's happening, man?
Hey, you'll hear me between 6 and 8 p.m. tonight, too, at 7:40. On Area 45.
There you go. There you go. That. As he gives another practice report. Practice reports all up and down. Again, thank you and courtesy of Yuengling. All right, my man. There's another day of practice going on. And one of the interesting things that I heard when D'Amico Ryans was talking was he mentioned the tight ends. And he talked about them blocking significantly better. Did you get any feel for what's happening with the tight ends out there today at practice?
With the blocking, not so much. I mean, in general, the tight ends have been better throughout camp. And they made some plays again today. There were not a lot of plays to be made on offense today. And I know we'll talk about this. The defense dominated. It's starting to get to a point that the defense is dominating enough to where I'm formulating big picture takes on all this. But we'll get to that. But to answer your question, Reggie, I mean, the blocking overall was not great as a team today. But Dalton Schultz made a couple of plays. Cade Stover had a touchdown. There were not many touchdowns today for the offense, so he had a touchdown. Today, I think my biggest takeaway from the tight ends, though, there were a couple of big drops over the middle on some plays. Brevin Jordan, who's had a really good camp so far, had dropped one of the few plays that really opened up for the first string offense today. If D'Amico's seeing that, he's seeing that. It was just overall not a great day for the offense.
Yeah, which takes me back to something we were talking about earlier, and we can zero in on specific players or groups, but you know, talking earlier, I was saying that I almost worry for this offense where you just keep getting battered every day against the defense, especially for a new system, new offense starting out, and how demoralizing that can be. As someone who's been at all these practices and was there today, like, what's the vibe even just for the offensive side of the football, as it seems like the defense has been so dominant day in and day out against that group?
Yeah, but I guess Luke, prefacing it with the risks of reading body language, mm-hmm. That was my overall, my biggest takeaway today was by the end of this practice, I felt like I was almost watching two different franchises out there. I was watching the defense was its own franchise and the offense was the other franchise, because these two groups were completely acting and interacting differently. The defense was high energy. Now, granted, they closed on as high a note as you can close on today. There were interceptions in each of the last three situational periods at the end of the practice. First string went against, you know, ones against one, twos against twos, threes against threes, all did a two-minute drill. And all three two-minute drills, they all ended in picks. And so, you know, so the recency of that probably was some of it. But really, even just watching throughout practice, man, that defense is such high energy, so positive. And it really, it jumped out at me today. And maybe some of it is our vantage point here at the Greenbrier, where they have a bunch of bleachers up in the end zone that are on a hill, and you can really see everything. Whereas opposed, I mean, you guys know, like, in Houston, we're on ground level, and you're having to look over players that are on the bench. You really don't get to see, you know, the bird's eye view of everything. But the today felt like a day where the defense, or the offense, I should say, just looked demoralized at the end of this practice. And rightfully so. Like, I guess it's, you know, just it wasn't good. C.J. Stroud did not have a good practice today. If you're a fan of defensive football, though, and low-scoring football, so far this training camp would seem to indicate take the under on a lot of Texans games this year.
We're talking to Sean Pendergrass right here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 with a practice report courtesy of Yingling. And I did want to ask you, because D'Amico also talked about this, like the distinction of being in West Virginia with that 60-degree weather is they're not worrying about the weather and that they can kind of go more all out. You mentioned the energy on one side. Did you notice it even higher than what it had been in Houston? And I know for the offense, like, what is the energy comparative to what you had seen previously in Houston?
I didn't notice a big difference this team, I think, does a pretty good job of bringing the energy even in that heat, especially the defensive side. I mean, you know, Reggie, we stand right behind the defense at practice, so we hear everything and we see everything, all the interaction and stuff like that. So I don't think energy or weather or anything like that. The weather was the same for both sides today. You know, it wasn't like the weather was good for the offense and bad for the defense or vice versa. I just think this defense is that much further ahead of the offense right now. And the offense had to shuffle along the offensive line pretty early in this practice. I don't know if you guys saw any of that banter, but Cam Robinson, the starting left tackle, went out the first play in team drills in 11-on-11. He went out with some leg injury that kept him out for the rest of practice. He went in the building. So they moved Ariante Ursary from right tackle to left tackle with the ones, which is his natural position. What was interesting was, instead of just bumping Blake Fisher up from the twos to take the right tackle spot vacated by Ursary there, they bumped Titus Howard back out to right tackle and put Juice Scruggs in at right guard, which says to me right now that this team is more comfortable playing with Juice Scruggs on the first team offensive line than they are with Blake Fisher playing on the first team offensive line, which I think neither is a great solution right now. Neither guy has been great in camp so far, but I just thought it was interesting. Like, I always look at this, like, whatever they're doing in this practice is what they would do in a game. And what that tells me right now is that if that were to have happened in a game, you wouldn't bring your swing tackle in to play right tackle. You would be bumping your right guard out to right tackle and bringing in one of your swing interior guys. So I thought that was really, really interesting.
Yes, for sure. An indictment on Blake Fisher, it seems. When it comes to the wide receiver position, and it doesn't just have to be today because you've been at all the practices, but who's stood out most to you? Who's kind of separating themselves at that position group from the rest of the pack?
I think the biggest thing is, Luke, nobody's separating themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean guys have been bad. I think John Metchie has actually had one of the few really nice downfield plays for the offense today. Braxton Berrios has factored in at times offensively, not just in the return game, which I think most of us thought his avenue to make the team would be on the return as part of the return unit. And that may be what gets him on the team, but he's made some plays. I think Xavier Hutchinson is a guy that they like a lot, who has not made any, like, didn't make any wow plays today, but he had a couple of catches. I think we're all looking at it knowing there's four guys that are definitely going to make this team at wide receiver. It's Nico Collins, it's Christian Kirk, and then the two rookies out of Iowa State. They're all going to make the team. The battle after that is for what I would say is a maximum of two spots plus like a half a spot like Steven Sims had last year as sort of a return guy and an emergency receiver. But the tight end position, which I know we talked about a little bit earlier, they've got some guys that are doing some good things there. They may want to carry a fullback this year. It might not be that, okay, we're down to deciding who our sixth receiver is. It might be deciding who like your 10th or 11th sort of offensive skill guy. You know what I mean? Like it may come down to, do we keep John Metchie or do we keep a fullback? You know, or do we keep John Metchie or does Luke Lachey make the 53-man roster? So it's not always necessarily where the receivers are battling each other. They're battling, if you're that far down the depth chart, you're battling whoever is battling for spots 53, 52, and 51. You might be battling with a defensive end. You know, do we keep six defensive ends or do we keep six wide receivers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, and you went exactly where I was hoping to go next, because defensive end, especially on a day like this, it might be a little bit tough to surmise between the different ones. But we know that, you know, the guys at the top, how are you seeing, especially on a day like today, the performances for your rush edges, especially the guys that are at depth?
They're all making plays, Reggie. I mean, I know you've been out there. They've been making plays throughout camp. They're making plays again today. Daryl Taylor had a nice sack today. Solomon Bird is a guy that nobody was factoring into their 53-man roster before training camp started, but he keeps showing up. And I think it's complicated by the fact that you've got a couple of guys on the PUP list in Derek Barnett and Denico Autry who are going to make this team in all likelihood. You know, I know Denico Autry has not played a lot of football for the Texans, but he's a guy who I know they like a lot. He's older, so maybe does that factor in positively or negatively? Do they want that veteran presence, or does the age thing factor into where they go, okay, well, availability might be an issue with this guy? The guys that are out there are making plays, but again, it's a lot like the running back position, which is, okay, there's all these second and third string guys that are really popping, but how does the team view Damian Pierce, who was working out off to the side again today, that kind of thing? So they're really interesting positions just because you've got guys that are doing things in practice who probably weren't on schedule to make this team, and in theory, they're going against guys who aren't practicing at all right now, and we don't know when they're going to practice.
Yeah, I know you caught up with C.J. Gardner-Johnson after practice. I'm sure we'll hear that tomorrow morning. But yeah, he seems like a real fun guy to talk to, I'm sure.
Yeah, he had a pick six today off of C.J. Stroud, and you can imagine the energy surrounding that celebration, knowing what we know about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I actually asked him kind of like post-game show style, to, hey, you know, like I said, pretend that you're walking into the postgame show. My first question to you would be, take us through the pick six. And he said that was a drop that they just installed in the last couple of days. It was a new coverage that they had put in. So he thought that was really cool that, you know, he got to see it come to the ultimate fruition. It was neat, man. He's clearly really enjoying being on this team. Talked about, you know, what are the things that you see with this team that when you compare to Super Bowl teams that you've been on. So he kind of listed those things as well. He was really, really good.
Yeah, he seems to also have like a pretty good rapport, as I think all this defensive team does, with like Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith got a little run with the ones. Like, again, is he just continuing to skyrocket up for you?
He deserves it. Yeah, he's played really, really well. Like, yeah, he's been great. That's, you know, that's, and that was a pick that Nick was kind of criticized for, Casario.
Yeah.
But that's worked out.
Yeah, he does well in those circumstances, doesn't he? All right, I think one of the things that I want to do every day with you that we get a chance to do this, you know that we had kind of a pet cat draft. Now, of course, you don't have to consider that, but I want to know maybe a couple of guys, maybe a handful of guys that you felt like were the winners of practice today, and maybe that'll help us add some points. Are there any that come to mind for you immediately?
Yeah, for sure. I would say Mario Edwards had a lot of really good plays in the interior of the defensive line, including a sack. Woody Marks has been a guy who's flashed a little bit. He was getting the first set of reps with the twos today and had some really good runs. So I would put Woody Marks on that list. I mentioned Mario Edwards I would put on that list. Jalen Petrie should have had a pick today. You know, Jalen Petrie's been around the ball quite a bit at practice today and throughout camp. So I'll throw his name in there as well.
Okay. I like that very much. Can you break down like the Woody Marks? It's just good wiggle or just like good vision? What are you seeing specifically?
You got your point, man.
I know, but I'm trying to get some extra points. Now this isn't about my point. I kind of want to, because we are still looking at the running back. We found it very interesting. I know that you were probably there when D'Amico was talking. When D'Amico mentions, you know, the running backs, and he immediately mentions Woody Marks first, then Jawar Jordan, then he mentions Nick Chubb as, you know, like, you know, the basically physicality, I don't remember the exact words, in that order. And so I was that jumped out.
Hey, Reggie, I'll tell you, because I know we're up against it, he is a no-nonsense runner. Like, he gets upfield quick, Woody Marks does. That's what I notice most about him. He's got nice wiggle. He's got all that stuff. But he is north and south quick. He gets upfield real quick.
That's right. All right, so you talked to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Were there any other conversations you were able to have that we should be on the lookout for?
Seth had a conversation with Kamari Lassiter as well, and I'm sure that will be out there amongst the interwebs and on the radio at some point here very, very soon.
Very good. Make sure to follow Sports Radio 610 on all the social media platforms, and then follow these fine gentlemen, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, because, again, they've got conversations. They're on the ground. And, again, that was Sean Pendergast joining us for a practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of
And Seth was about to jump on, but we were up against it, so I didn't want to mess your clock.
No, it's all good. We appreciate you doing it because, again, this is outside of your job description. So thanks for giving us a little bit of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sean Pendergast, again, joining us for a practice report from West Virginia, and that is courtesy of Yuengling. All right. I was not just trying to get my points.
Yeah, you trying to get some extra credit,
no,
man.
No. I really and truly want to know what kind of runner we're looking at with Woody Marks, especially on the day, and what kind of things that we could possibly expect for him. That's a good point. Thank you for that counterpoint, John Harris. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's Monday, so let's get some winners and losers from the weekend. 713-572-4610. Who are some folks that you believe were winners and or losers on the weekend? We'll talk about it next.